I told Republican senators, vote any way you want. Vote how you feel good. But I think it's bad for a Republican senator. I also think it's bad for a Democrat senator to vote against border security and to vote against the wall.
Yeah, so that's the president. They're going to vote on that emergency declaration condemnation passed by the Democrats in the House. Sponsored, I should point out, by the Democrats in the House. And we don't have enough members of the Senate with a spine to prevent it from being passed in the Senate. That is a sad, sad state of affairs, folks. Happy Thursday morning.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Trish is back.
I am indeed.
Did you have a good day off?
I did. Thank you very much.
It's almost like having a day and a half off because you get to stay up late at night and you get the whole next day. You get to sleep in. It's fantastic.
It was. Yep.
One day can make a big difference.
I had a little Five Farms Irish cream whiskey as my nightcap.
It's good stuff.
After the Fox. Yep. Saw beautiful. Carole King musical. Highly recommend it.
I haven't talked about that in a while, but we've got it a little later today. I'll be talking about it. But boy, if you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day, and this, you got to try that stuff.
It doesn't really get much better.
It is like I'm sure in coffee or something like that.
It's really good in coffee.
Chilled and over some ice. It's just, oh man.
It's a treat, like a dessert type of treat.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know the best part about it is that every time I see the bottle, I can use my best Irish accent and talk about County Cork, Ireland.
Oh.
Isn't that great?
That's where it comes from. Any excuse for Mark to use an accent, you know, I'm in.
The bane of my family's existence. They hate traveling with me because I'm prone to try to speak to people in their native language accent at any time, even though I can't speak their language.
You know, not ever concerned that they might find it offensive?
I know I speak the Irish. I speak the same language as the Irish, just not with the accent.
I think that's what his family's concerned about.
I know. I'd be like, oh, you're going to say this to the wrong person and you're
going to
get a
fist
to the face.
When I went to Italy, I was having a great time.
I'm sure you
Grazie. You got to do it in the accent, the way they do it, mm-hmm. right?
You have to.
You do. I was learning some Italian, and I was having
you
a
and
great
Hillary
time.
Clinton.
What choice do you have? That's my dad. He's learning Spanish, self-taught, and every time he goes to tequilas, he tries it out on the servers, and my mom's like, okay, come on.
Oh, my God.
Next time you're going out to eat by yourself.
He's like, yeah, that's fine. Let's go to tequilas.
Test that out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to usually go back to the kitchen to do that. Anyway, I digress. You didn't get to enjoy all the great conversation we had about this arrest of these parents who were buying their kids way into college.
No, I was actually talking to Denise about it this morning. I only read the headline, so I couldn't actually figure out what was going on. I didn't realize they were buying their kids way into college. I thought they were in trouble because they went to college. And I thought that would have been their parents in the college. So is the but I didn't read it clearly. So these actresses are in trouble because they were bribing the school.
They were part of a scam.
No, you miss a day, you miss a lot.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? They're in trouble for a couple of different reasons.
Conspiracy and fraud.
Yeah, some of them were paying a guy who was a consultant for ACT testing and all that, who claimed he could help their kids get into college. Some of them were paying this guy money to have somebody else take their kids' test to boost their test scores. In other cases, they were funneling money through him
to
a fake charity, which will be tax fraud, so that certain coaches at certain institutions would accept their kids as members of their athletic team to get them into the school, even though they weren't crew members or lacrosse players or soccer players or whatever the case may be. So they were being bribed because as an athlete, a lot of athletes can be accepted to a university below the standards of everybody else at the school just because they can run fast or play ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they were using that to get these kids admitted to some of these schools.
So they were like, bring my kid on as the water boy but we can get him in.
But let me, I just have a question for you this morning. Bail and bond are things that are used for people who are considered to be some sort of threat to society, generally speaking. Like if you bring somebody in on a mass murder, you want to give them $1 million bond because you know they'll never be able to pay it, and therefore they can't get back out in society and kill anybody else. And then they bring Aunt Becky in yesterday from Full House. And Aunt Becky is free this morning on $1 million bond.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Aunt Becky didn't hurt anybody, but maybe whoever's kid didn't get into USC because hers did. She didn't murder anybody.
Sure, a million seems excessive.
Right. I think that's a little nutso. She's not a flight risk. Mm-hmm. She's an American actress. She's going to hire a very expensive attorney,
and
she's probably going to
probably going to
beat the rap. But why in the hell would they give her $1 million bond? I just don't understand that.
Do you think it has to do with the fact that they knew she could pay it?
I don't know. They had to put their house up as bond, their mansion there in Bel Air, to get her out of jail or to get the husband out of jail or something. I mean,
well, that's what I was thinking about.
An outrageous amount of money.
Like working really very regularly anymore. I doubt that. I mean,
her husband's successful as well.
He's a designer or something.
Figured they weren't hurting, but it's not. I mean, millions of dollars are still millions of dollars.
I just think the prosecutors in this case are trying to make their careers out of this by giving somebody who's not a flight risk and not a threat to society $1 million bond. It's a headline grabber. That's all it is. That's it. All right. Hey, we got a great show for you today. By the way, coming up here at 5:37, our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller is going to be calling us. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about this whole situation with the president. And also with Kim Gardner and some of these other problems that are going on here in town. She wrote a great piece on that the other day. To give us some national exposure. We got Tim Jones coming up. We got Todd Starnes for you today. We've got Cheryl Atkinson, who, of course, is running a great piece on her Full Measure program about MS-13. So we're going to get her on here around 8:10 this morning to talk a little bit more about that and the threat that this gang poses to America. Plus, Chris Wallace at 8:37. It's a big show. Don't miss it. 314-241-9797.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Did they sound as high quality as that CD?
No, in some cases, yes. Yes, it just depended.
Well,
you just couldn't
want the
change
best.
Them out as fast, right? It just took a little, everything was a little long, took a little longer.
We tried.
I guess.
Well, I tried to get you some AC/DC.
So, I'm glad you brought this up, Tricia, because I'd kind of forgotten about it because it didn't affect me. But I saw people melting down yesterday on Facebook because Facebook had a blackout of some sort.
It wasn't it wasn't updating.
Oh my gosh.
So you were still seeing things, but it would be things like hours ago or the day before. Wow. It wasn't updating.
Hmm.
What do you do on a day like that?
Panic.
It was Instagram and Facebook and the WhatsApp.
Whatever. Which I still don't know.
I don't know what that is.
I guess you had to. I guess you had to resort to like Twitter or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what do you do?
I don't know. It didn't affect me either. So
saw a great picture the other day. A meme of two teenage boys at their grandparents' house, looking at a rotary phone, and like holding up the handle. Like, what the hell do you do with this thing? They'd never seen one before. Like with the, she actually had to dial the number. Mm-hmm. I remember my grandparents had one of those. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? I mean, the technology goes down for a day and people lose their minds?
That's what it looks
like. How much
like.
Time do they spend on it? See, this is the problem with America these days. America, Facebook is not a news source. It's not. You got to break yourself of that habit. That's dangerous. Speaking of news you might not have heard this morning, did you hear that? I saw something yesterday I've never seen in Missouri before.
What's that?
I saw a Beto O'Rourke bumper sticker.
Oh,
in Missouri?
Now, it was on a car with Texas plates, so my assumption is it was left over from the Senate race. But this morning, Beto has announced, or late last night, that he's going to run for president.
Yay!
Okay.
He has a lot of teeth. Isn't that what you said earlier? Somebody say he had a lot of teeth?
I mean, I would never talk about
he's
somebody
like
that.
He's got a mouthful of teeth.
That's a lot of teeth. The first thing
regardless,
I notice when I see him.
I mean, like, we're so shallow, we're just looking to talk about what he looks like. Shame on us. Doesn't matter, right?
We're terrible.
None of that matters.
There's so many other bad things to say. I mean, let's not focus on his teeth.
He's just such a leftist. I don't quite get that. But here's the thing about it. You remember what old Beto told us after the his Senate race was over? Now, here's a man who's famous for one thing. Just like Stacey Abrams in Georgia, he's famous for one thing. Losing. That's what he's famous for. He ran what Hollywood made a high-profile campaign for the United States Senate, and he lost. And because of that, he thinks he's qualified to be president of the United States. He's never held anything other than a congressional seat in somewhere in Texas. This is what he said in October.
What are your thoughts on running for president?
I don't want to do it. I will not do it. Amy and I are raising an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And we've spent the better part of the last 2 years not with each other, missing birthdays and anniversaries and time together. And our family could not survive more of it.
I know. Josh Hawley said he wouldn't run for a higher office, too. I know. I'm just saying.
It happens. You change your mind.
Well, I mean, still, there's just such a leap from running for a local congressional office to president of the United States. It's like this Pete Buttigieg, or whatever the hell his name is, from Indiana. He's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, or some small town in Indiana. And he thinks, he's got the arrogance to think that he either has the experience or the leadership skills to be the president of the United States. He's never accomplished anything but getting elected in a town with 50,000 residents, and he thinks he can be president of the United States. That congressional district that O'Rourke's in is probably not a hell of a lot bigger than that. It's just unbelievable to me. They're all going to do this. They know they're going to fail, and they're just going to try to raise their social media profile and write a book.
It's that star power thing. It's the same with AOC getting elected to something. It's like you don't have to have a lot of clout anymore. You just have to be social media savvy.
Yeah, I guess. Or
are you stupid?
One of the two.
Or both.
Or both. 314-241-9797. Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller up next. Stick around.
As I've always indicated, the matter's being handled by career agents and investigators with the Department of Justice. They've had it since the beginning. They are independent.
Which predates your tenure as Attorney General.
It predates my tenure as Attorney General. It is the same team, and they are acting independently. They follow the law. They follow the facts. That team will make findings. That is to say, they will come up with a chronology of what happened, the factual scenario. They will make recommendations as to how to resolve what those facts lead to. The recommendations will be reviewed by career supervisors in the Department of Justice and in the FBI and by the FBI director. And then, as is the common process, they present it to me, and I fully expect to accept their recommendations.
Yeah, what Loretta Lynch there, former AG, failed to mention is that it was the Obama Department of Justice being pressured to make recommendations to the investigating agency, which in this case was the FBI. And oh, by the way, did we mention her tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton just before all this happened? Wow, was that coincidence? I would have to think not. Virginia Cruda's got a great piece on this in the Daily Caller. Of course, she's an associate editor for them now. Virginia, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, great to have you on the show. I know you were up early for a trip this morning, huh?
Yeah, I'm actually standing at the airport while they're boarding the sections ahead of me.
Well, good. Well, at least your flight is taken off. You're not on one of those Boeing MAX 8s or something.
Well, they're already saying they're oversold, so they're trying to buy off a few people to bump to the next one.
Understood. Well, we don't want to make you late for your flight. I love this piece that you put out yesterday because you pointed out something that was sort of between the lines of this story where Lisa Page says that the DOJ pressured and insinuated to the FBI that they better not find gross negligence on Hillary Clinton.
Well, now, Lisa Page, when she was testifying before Congress, this would have been last year, she was being questioned by Texas Republican Ratcliffe, Congressman Ratcliffe. And he asked her several times about whether or not she had been told by the DOJ, it doesn't matter what you recommend, we're not going forward with this. And she said yes several times. She even said, look, we wanted to go forward with gross negligence. Under it, I believe the Espionage Act, because they were looking at the handling of classified and sensitive information. And Lisa Page said several times under oath before Congress, yes, the DOJ pressured us. They told us that they would not be prosecuting even if that was the recommendation they gave. So then you flash back a couple of years earlier to the clip that you played of Loretta Lynch talking about how she was going to take the recommendation of the FBI. And so now you look at those two things together and you've got to decide who's lying, because one of them is not really telling the truth. And now for my money, I'm going with Paige on this, because whatever else she did, she's an FBI lawyer and she knows exactly what's going to happen to her if she lies under oath in a congressional hearing. Loretta Lynch was talking to the press and she had no reason to believe anything that she did behind the scenes would come out. So she thought she was safe.
Yeah, but
that's my take on it.
All she did was meet with, the husband of the subject of a federal investigation,
right
in the just a week or two before the announcement was made as to whether or not they were going to go after her criminally. I mean, there's nothing to see here. Come on, Virginia.
And the only reason she explained it that way, the only reason she came out and said, I'm going to take the recommendation of the FBI, is that she was getting pressure to recuse herself at the time because of that meeting. And she said, no, I don't need to recuse myself because I'm not really involved in the fact-finding part of this investigation, and I'm just going to take their recommendation anyway. So basically the entire excuse not to recuse herself. So what she did basically when she went ahead and pressured the FBI is what's coming out now is now we have proof that she should have recused herself.
Yeah.
That she probably shouldn't have been in a federal office anyway, but at the very least she should have recused herself.
Well, she claims that she was stepping away. She was going to let her deputy make the decision, whatever. I remember specifically when she made that comment. But, ultimately, what we've realized, at least what I've observed in Washington, is this two-tiered scale of justice. And I suspect in at the end of the day, Loretta Lynch will also benefit from that, just like the Clintons have benefited from it.
Well, she protected the Clintons, and so there's some of that rolls downhill.
Yes. You got to wonder, because somebody would have to make the decision to go back and look at that soundbite that we played this morning and ask the same questions that you're asking.
Because she was talking to the press, though, I don't know that they can actually hold her to that. They can question her. They can bring her before Congress. But it's not perjury.
Right, she wasn't under oath.
She wasn't under oath. She was just talking to reporters. And she can play it off and say, I had every intention of following their instructions or their recommendations. They just gave bad recommendations, so I had to change my mind.
Wow.
She can say whatever she wants. There's really no way to come after Lynch on this. She just looks bad.
Yes. Well, worse. Let's put it that way. She looks worse.
you do make a good point.
Yeah, after the whole tarmac meeting, she just looks worse. That's kind of how that's going down.
There's no way that particular meeting was going to come off making her look better.
Oh my! It just gets stranger and stranger. Virginia, I want to give you kudos for giving our local circuit attorney a little bit of national exposure in the Daily Caller. Nobody else seemed to be paying any attention to it.
Well, she needed that, so.
Well, we find out yesterday that Kim Gardner, she defied.
She got a delay on it, didn't she?
Yeah. Well, she basically defied the search warrant, and finally a judge went back in and seized the email server at the circuit attorney's office, and she appealed this to like the federal courts to try to stop them from finding out information on her. I can't imagine how a circuit attorney thinks she can defy the law, but she wants everybody else to follow it.
Right. Well, you know, I guess she's hoping for a two-tier justice system in St. Louis. I don't know.
It's a great point. Well, listen, Virginia, have a safe trip.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Virginia Cruda there at VA Cruda, and you can read her stories there on the Daily Caller. Good to get her on this morning. She makes a good point on this whole Loretta Lynch case. She'll get away with it. There's nobody's gonna enforce that. Back to the Kim Gardner case for a moment. This is just eye-opening. And the headline in the Post yesterday was eye-opening enough. Special prosecutor seizes St. Louis circuit attorney's email server.
So they only got it for like an hour.
Right, and then the federal judge stepped in and stopped them from doing anything. I mean, this is ludicrous. Police officers had to show up at her office and go in and physically remove this computer. But I'm not suggesting that I have any idea what they did here. But usually the reason you serve a search warrant, let's face it, the reason they went to Roger Stone's house with 27 federal agents, stormed the front door, held everybody at gunpoint outside while they searched the house, is so that nobody can tamper with or make evidence disappear before they have their chance to get a hold of it. That's why search warrants are issued. In this case, the special prosecutor looking into perjury charges against her top investigator and maybe into whether or not she suborned perjury issues a search warrant for the circuit attorney's office. And when they show up, they get denied entry by the circuit attorney. They get turned away for what, a week and a half, till they finally come back with another search warrant and police officers who enforce the search warrant. What happened in that week and a half? Was there any bleach bit involved? I mean, these are all legitimate questions. I don't know anything about bleach bit. Maybe she called Hillary Clinton. Maybe she called her contact George Soros, who reached out to his friend Hillary to ask how that whole bleach bit thing works. I mean, it's possible. Or maybe somebody over at the IRS. I mean, how effective is it if you take a hammer to a hard drive or an electronic device? I don't know. I'm just asking. Gardner's trying to claim it's an effort to intimidate and humiliate the circuit attorney. I wonder if suggesting that you have knowledge of a picture somebody took of somebody else in a compromising position, even though you really never had the photo, but you charge him anyway with violating that person's privacy, but you never really knew if they violated it because you don't have the photo. I wonder if that's an intimidation and humiliation tactic. You just have to wonder if a certain gentleman named Eric Greitens isn't sitting back in his living room smiling at the irony of what Kim Gardner's going through right now. She's claiming now that she's being persecuted for political reasons. Wow. 314-241-9797. What say you? I'll get to your phone calls coming up.
I'm alive.
You're a champ. You're going to fight that, right? You're just fighting it?
It's what the Irish do, right?
Yeah, that's what the Irish do. You better believe it. You look good.
So that was President Trump last week when he called that gentleman who was basically fulfilled one of his dying wishes, which was to talk to the President of the United States. And his sister managed to work it out, even though in the interview, which was pretty funny, she said that she's a lifelong Democrat. But she reached out to somebody she knew in town who knew somebody in Washington at the White House, and they ended up getting the message through to the president, and the phone rings, and it's the president calling this guy. And then the word came out today that that he passed away. He was terminally ill, and he apparently died on Tuesday. So the president called him last week. That was the soundbite that you heard there. it was kind of cute, because if you listen to it near the end of it, the president said, the next time we're in your neck of the woods, a guy lived in Connecticut, I'm going to invite you to my rally. And I think, sensing that he didn't have a great deal of time left, it sounded like Jay, who was the gentleman's name, was kind of fishing for a White House invitation, because he said, well, you know, I can always come to Washington and make it to the White House. So it sounded like he was kind of, I don't know if that happened or not. I'm assuming that it didn't. He must have been too ill. But anyway, I just wanted to pass that along. Just a little update to a story that that we reported on last week. Did speaking of Beto O'Rourke running for president, because I mentioned that earlier, Stormy Daniels had a little meltdown. She was talking to a group of women in Washington, D.C., which is a little unusual for her, because often she's in clubs with men. And she pointed out that Donald Trump, she's afraid he might get reelected. She said she was excited about the prospect of what might happen in the 2020 election. And other days I'm like, this blanker is going to win again. Words you can't say on radio. So Stormy Daniels is clearly, despite all of her best efforts, and it's weird, because, you know, Michael Avenatti has been on Twitter defending Michael Cohen, who went up and testified against the president. Stormy Daniels is apparently not a fan of Michael Cohen, because Avenatti is not his defense lawyer, but he's been publicly defending him. But Cohen is the one that paid her off and had her sign those documents saying mm-hmm. that she wasn't going to make her allegations that she was going to make about an affair. And in the same speech, she referred to Michael Cohen as being dumber than herpes. Now, I'm thinking to myself, herpes is a sexually transmitted disease. How can mm-hmm. you be dumber than herpes? I guess you could be dumber than somebody who caught herpes, but...
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't.
But as somebody who has done the majority of her professional work in locations where that might be a possibility, I think she probably needs to steer away from that.
I would say so. And not to go down the herpes route.
Come on, go ahead.
Early, but it's a very aggressive sexually transmitted disease. It's probably one of the smarter strands as far as the diseases go. So I'm not even sure that analogy equates.
Mark the tape. Trisha just said herpes is a smart disease. You may not be smart if you get it, but as a disease, it's apparently very smart.
I don't know how you rank that, but
see, we just enlighten you every morning here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
You are welcome.
It's what we do. Thank you, Trisha, for that. I did not know that. I clearly missed that in biology class, but I appreciate that. All right. Hey, I tell you what, I'm going to give away another t-shirt this morning. We're going to do it, in fact, at about 6:10. So stay tuned, because coming up shortly, we're going to give away one of these brand new cut rate Mark Cox Morning Show t-shirts. You can also go on the website and buy them at a discount, where they're on sale. They're $5 or $6 cheaper than everything else on the site.
So buy two.
Buy two. It's a great deal. And then I got Tim Jones, and then I got Jim Talent, and Cheryl Atkinson, and Chris Wallace, and the train keeps rolling. We'll be back.